We are going to go into the Word of God today, and I'm excited because I believe that He has some good things for us to apply to our lives and to so that we can grow up. How many want to grow up, right? You know, years ago, what was it? What was the Toys R Us commercial? I don't want to grow up. I want to be a Toys R Us kid. Well, God wants us to actually grow up into the things of God, but He still wants us to be childlike in our faith. And that's a dichotomy that we have to wrestle with a little bit. But God wants us to grow in Him. And He desires that whether you've known Him for 30, 40 years or whether you've known Him for, you know, just a year or two. You know, God wants us to grow. So let's go before the Father. Let's allow the Word of God a place in our hearts. That's the imperishable Word. It's not important what I say. It's important what He says. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, we just approach Your holy written Word. God, we thank You. You've given us a means whereby we can grow up. We can learn the ways of the Spirit. We can learn how to hear Your voice. We can learn how to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And we can mature in You. Thank You, Father God, for our time in the Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn to their neighbor, to your neighbor right now, just to kind of, and speak it a little bit out loud. Don't just, you know, under your breath. Just say, God has something for you today.
God has something for you today.
So make sure that you open your ears,
open your heart,
so that you can receive it.
So that you can receive it.
Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8. If you are taking notes or if you're joining us online, this message, the next 3 weeks, we're going to be hanging out in Romans chapter 8. And we're going to be talking about responding, or this message series is called Respond. Respond. And this message is going to be about the Holy Spirit and His workings in our lives as believers. You know, the Holy Spirit is an amazing, amazing person of the Godhead. I mean, He is so amazing because He was sent here so that we could actually have another one just like Jesus living on the inside of us. In fact, as you're there in Romans chapter 8, keep your finger here. This is where we're going to mainly be. But to set the stage for Romans 8, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. It says this, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But He who is coming after Me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will baptize you. He will immerse you. He will consume you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then again, over there in John chapter 14, in verse 16, it says this, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He shall be in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Jesus tells us that another one, the Holy Spirit, is going to live on the inside of us. And the Holy Spirit's work is so powerful in our lives. You know, as a teenager, I got born again, received the Lord, walked down an aisle in a Baptist church, just as they were singing, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim as you walk in His glory and grace. And that's what I did. I literally hung on to a pew for the first couple minutes, not sure that I was going to walk down front. God was dealing with me. I knew about God. I had grown up in church. I could even argue with you about Jesus. But there was something missing in my life, and in that service, I became a Christian. I received the Lord Jesus Christ. I walked down that aisle. I received the Lord, and there was no turning back from that time on. I was 15. Soon after, I was reading along the lines of the Holy Spirit, and I heard that the Holy Spirit wanted to do supernatural things in my life. And as a teenager, I was hungry for the things of God. I read through the New Testament twice while on vacation with my parents. It was the first time I had been on vacation with my parents without my sister. And quite frankly, part of me wanted to say, oh, this is going to be really boring. My sister's not here. She's staying home. She has to work. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I brought my Bible because I had just recently given my heart to Christ. And I read through the Good News Translation, a paraphrase Bible. I read through it twice while driving to North Carolina. While in a Christian bookstore, somebody hands me a book that called How to Live Like a King's Kid. And all through that book, I heard about modern day stories about how the Holy Spirit, living on the inside, big on the inside, was doing supernatural things in this gentleman's life. The book was called How to Live Like a King's Kid by Harold Hill. Now, Harold Hill has gone on to be with Jesus. He was an older gentleman. But he talked about supernatural workings of the Holy Spirit. He talked about the gifts of the Spirit, as mentioned in the book of Corinthians, as mentioned in the book of Acts. Speaking with other tongues, listening to the voice of God, listening to the Holy Spirit. And I said, I want that in my life. And I remember going home and asking questions of different ones, leaders in my church. And my church had an official stand. They believed, and God bless them. I'm not disparaging them, but they did not believe that the gifts of the Spirit were for today. They believed that they died out when the last apostle died. Well, that didn't make sense to my teenage brain, because I thought to myself, well, back then they didn't know when all the apostles died. They died at different times all over the earth. And so if the power of God ceased to be in existence because the last apostle died, it didn't make sense to me. So, I mean, I'm having this picture of them getting ready to lay hands on somebody that they would be healed, according to James chapter 5. And they're getting ready to pray, and then all of a sudden a messenger comes running in. Wait. John just died. He's the last apostle. That won't work. And so I actually began to be around other Christians who were believing in these supernatural experiences of God, who were actually experiencing tongues and interpretation, the gifts of the Spirit, words of knowledge, the gifts of healing. I said, I want that in my life. And so I went and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I received the evidence of speaking with other tongues, as it is in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 19. I was filled with the Spirit. It changed my life. It changed my life. It changed my destiny. And I began to pray the mysteries of God out in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we're having church prayer, you may hear me or Pastor Christine or the Jacksons or different ones pray in the Holy Spirit. What are we doing? We are praying in other tongues. We're praying the mysteries out. Now, sometimes, and we don't have time to get into it today, sometimes when you're praying in other tongues, it's a message in tongues for the body. Sometimes it is just something that is between you and God, praying the mysteries of God out. I want to encourage you to actually study that out and begin to exercise that in your life. We are a Spirit-filled church, unashamedly. Now, when we look, now go to Romans chapter 8. What I want to get to today is responding to the Holy Spirit. How do we respond to the Holy Spirit? The Word of God is very clear that He wants to lead and guide us. He wants to speak to us, to help us make decisions even in our everyday life. You heard Pastor Christine talking about how she's just walking down the road and she's just talking to the Lord. She's just talking to the Lord about everyday things. And then there are times that you don't know how to pray as you ought, that we're going to see that in verse 26, but you pray in the Holy Ghost. He takes hold on the inside. Now, I spoke to you today regarding the issue in Ukraine, and we were in a room full of probably a couple thousand people, and we were there praying in the Holy Ghost for extended periods of time. That's when we heard different things coming up in our hearts. Sometimes the people on the platform, that was their thing that they wanted to share. That was their meeting. They were leading the meeting. And so they would share what the Holy Ghost was telling them. In my particular case, it was a personal assignment for our church. And that's what came up after that extended time of prayer. And you knew you were praying for Ukraine. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you have no idea what you're praying for, but you get a burden to pray in other tongues. Let's look at it. Romans chapter 8 is a great chapter lesson on responding to the Holy Spirit. Verse 1 says this, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So this message and this series is going to be walking according to the Spirit. It means responding to Him when He begins to give you those little nudgings, when He begins to give you those little inklings of what you're supposed to do. You know, sometimes people think, well, you know, God must just give you these specific instructions. And sometimes He does. But I got to be honest with you, sometimes it is a leading, it's a prompting that kind of leads you to do something. You don't know what's going to happen, but you feel your heart drawn towards something. And as you walk closer to that, why? We are walking according to the Spirit. The Spirit of God will draw you to something. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? He will draw you to be a part of something. He will draw you in like your heart will be, wow, I'm just kind of, that's where my heart goes. That's where my heart goes. Years ago, when this whole burden for Europe that dropped in my heart, it dropped in my heart as a 17-year-old at Oral Roberts University at a dorm room prayer meeting. I'm in the prayer meeting, and this was 40 years ago, coming this September. I'm in a prayer meeting hearing about Bibles being smuggled into the former Soviet Union, and my burden for that part of the world was not something I'd ever thought about before in my entire life. And I was hearing these stories and these upperclassmen talking about smuggling Bibles into Poland before Poland was free. Working with Catholic and Methodist and underground church leaders to get the gospel to places supernaturally. Not being detected by authorities. Folks, if we don't learn how to walk with the Holy Ghost in these last days, I believe we are living in the last days. You say, uh-oh, Pastor, what do you mean by last days? I have no idea if Jesus is coming in 10 days, 10 hours, 10 minutes, or 100 years. I believe what we are seeing unfold on the world stage causes us as Christians, and should, to wake up and to say, wait. Don't get caught up in the worldly parts of what's going on. Cultural wars. Don't get caught up into that. Let's get our mind on the kingdom because the king is coming. He's coming. And there are things that are far, far more vital that are at stake. The kingdom of God, getting the gospel preached. Notice what it says there. It says that there's no condemnation. In other words, you don't have to feel condemned if you are walking after the Spirit. So this is what we're talking about. How do you walk after the Spirit? How do you walk after the Spirit? Well, first of all, you've got to draw close to Him. You've got to draw close to Him. Now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to use an illustration here real quick. Can I have Brother Alex come on up here? All right. If I have Brother Alex come on up here and on camera, you guys might not be able to see this, so that's all right. All right, so if Brother Alex is if he's the Holy Spirit, right? And Randy, can I borrow you real quick? Can I borrow you? So if Randy is Father God, right? He's going to be Father God, right? Right. I need somebody to play Jesus. Would you come on up here, brother? Come on up here. You're going to play Jesus for me, all right? Okay. So, the Bible tells us that, why don't you stand right between now, okay? Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father, right? God the Father's here. Jesus is at the right hand. When Jesus was on planet Earth, he said this, Jesus said, I don't do anything except my Father tells me. Okay? Now, here's the thing. We as believers, we are going to be listening to the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus ascended to the Father. He's at the right hand of the Father. Everybody follow me? You with me? Okay, so God the Father, whisper into Metal's ear right now. Okay? Did I say your name right? Metal? Metal or Needle?
Metal.
Okay, whisper into his ear. Okay, he gives an instruction. Now, I'm a believer over here. God has instructions for people on planet Earth. He does. He gives it to Jesus. Jesus tells the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, the Holy Ghost, he's here on Earth, right? But he also is speaking. He's always speaking. We're going to be walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. The Holy Spirit's speaking. Now, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me, but if I'm not careful and I'm walking after the flesh, I am not hearing what he's saying. Because now, Jesus tells the Holy Ghost, hey, tell Pastor Doug this. Tell Miriam this. Tell Sonia this. Tell Vanji this. Tell Colin this. Do you follow me? The Holy Ghost is speaking these things. So now put your hand near where your mouth is. He's speaking these things. Now, we as believers, if our ear is not tuned to it, if I'm just walking the way I want to walk, I'm doing my life the way I'm figuring it out in my head, right? I am not going to hear the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to hear him. But if I tune my ear to the Holy Spirit and I draw close to him and I say, listen, why I heard him say it. Now, I want you to whisper something to me, but I'm going to be over here. I want you to whisper it. I'm not hearing that. Why? Because I'm walking the way I want to walk. That's why it says there's no condemnation. We don't have to be condemned if we walk according to the Spirit. You see, the Spirit is always, thank you guys, thank you so much. The Spirit is always, he's always speaking direction, comfort, exhortation, and even correction. He'll correct you. If you'll allow the Holy Spirit to correct you, he'll tell you, son, don't do that anymore. He will. Don't do that. You'll know that's not right. Sorry, Lord. 1 John 1:9, right? So there is therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. Again, if you're born again, you're in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. Well, what is a walking according to the flesh? Well, I think it's interesting. We live in a body. We have flesh, right? You're hungry by noontime, right? You're starting to get hungry. Your flesh wants to eat. Sometimes your flesh wants to sleep. Sometimes your flesh does not want to get out of bed. Sometimes when you make an announcement, oh, I think I'm going to fast today. Right? As soon as you make that announcement, I don't know. It just seems like that's when you get the invite to go to the steakhouse. Or somebody says, you know, and if you're not careful, you want to talk about listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Just try this out this week. And try this out. Say, I think I'm going to fast a meal and I'm going to pray for Ukraine. I guarantee you that on that day, your refrigerator will talk to you. I guarantee you. Because our flesh is very much alive and connected to this world. But if we would listen to the Holy Spirit down on the inside, we would draw close. We would receive comfort and direction. Now look at what happens. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is a freedom that comes from walking in the Spirit that is that is beyond what you can ever experience through any drug or through any high that you think that you could get. It is walking in the Spirit, and there is a life that comes from it. And notice what it says here. For what the law, verse 3, could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus took the flesh issue to the cross. And then it says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So when we as believers make that conscious choice, that quality decision, that we're going to walk according to the Spirit of God, when we do that, it says here that that we are now walking according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, verse 5, set their minds on things in the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What is that? What is that talking about, Pastor Doug? Well, it's pretty, if you look at it in context, whenever you're reading Scripture, always look at what's going before and what goes after. And what you find out is walking according to the Spirit, there is freedom in that. When you walk according to the Spirit, stay close. Remember, I stay close to the Holy Ghost. I can hear Him. I remember many times on Friday nights, my friends would go out and they'd go see a movie. Nothing wrong with doing things that are fun and natural. Nothing wrong with that at all. Okay? But I remember there were times that the Spirit of God would just draw me. And I would shut the lights off in my dorm room. Thank God I lived alone my senior year at Oral Roberts. I was a chaplain. And for most of the year, I had my room alone. And so I could control the environment. It was a small room. I called a postage stamp room, you know. And I remember looking out over the campus and praying and getting my guitar out. Sometimes getting a little juice and a little cracker that I'd take away from the cafeteria. And I'd have my own communion with God. Just sit there and play and sing in the Spirit and talk in other, speak mysteries out, pray the mysteries of God out, knowing that I had a call of God on my life and saying, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but Lord, I'm just here. I'm just here with you. And just communing with Him. What I was doing, I was drawing close to the Holy Spirit so He could speak to my heart. So that down here, I would get used to hearing. I was learning to live by the Spirit, according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. When we learn to listen to the Spirit, we can actually say no to the flesh, and that's where, I'm just going to be quite frank with you, that's where suffering is involved. That's where you suffer in the flesh. When you suffer for doing right, when you suffer for faith, standing up for the things of God, there are people that lose their jobs. They lose their livelihood. They are imprisoned. Just ask Marcia. She's connected with a ministry called the Voice of the Martyrs. She's been to their conferences. People who are suffering for their faith. You know, in this country right now, we're arguing about a bunch of little things, a little petty things, while meanwhile, the kingdom of God is still there waiting for God's people to rise up and be the Christians. Be the ones that stand up and say, no, we are not going to keep letting evil prevail in the world. Whether it be here or whether it be there. That we pray. There is power in prayer. We walk after the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The word there, life and peace. I want you, if you have a real Bible, you can underline it. Life and peace, the two words that are used in the Greek language. The first one is Zoe, the God kind of life, the God quality of life. God wants to bring that God quality of life to you and to me. It is a God quality of life. It means that no matter what happens, I've got peace on the inside. There may be a storm raging, but I've got peace on the inside. There was a video posted of a Ukrainian pastor and his wife, and they literally, they were on their phone, and they you can tell, they have supernatural peace. I'm sitting there going, my Lord, your whole world is being destroyed. And they have supernatural peace. It was said that the Moravian Brethren that came from Count von Zinzendorf's estate in Germany and came to the Americas in the 1700s, that in the middle of a storm, they began to sing. What were they doing? Living life after the Spirit. They began to sing below deck, and they had such amazing peace. Meanwhile, everybody else was thinking, we are going to sink. Guess who was on that ship? John Wesley. John Wesley was on that ship, and he was sent by the Episcopalian Church to be a missionary to the Americas. And yet he didn't have peace in his heart. He said that he didn't really know for sure that if he died that he was going to go to heaven. And he said he went and he saw the peace that these brothers had, and they shared with him their faith. And he said that when he received Christ, his heart was strangely warmed. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar when you received Christ, that your heart was strangely warmed? It was strangely, that's the life in the Spirit of God being on the inside. Verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, don't get me wrong. As a Christian, could you be a carnal Christian? Yes. But guess what's going to happen? You're going to reap death in those relationships, death in the things of life. You're not going to have the fulfillment that God has for you. You're not going to actually benefit with the life of God, the Zoe, the God kind of life. And notice that it said that it to be spiritually minded, Holy Ghost response minded, all right, there's life and peace. That word is the same word that we get. It's translated from Hebrew, but also in Greek, is shalom. Shalom. Which is nothing broken, nothing missing. All the pieces fitting together. The shalom of God comes to you. It's not the absence of war or the absence of conflict on the outside, but the internal man, the hidden man of the heart, the one that's been transformed by the renewing of our mind, the one that Jesus came and transformed my life. On a flight from Washington, D.C. to Tulsa, Oklahoma, I sat with a young man named Ben. I did not want to talk to anybody. We had had a long Sunday here. Michael was sitting next to me. It was hard to talk to him. And we were on the flight, and the Lord wouldn't let me. He wouldn't let me just sit there. And the Spirit of God just began to rise up on the inside of me. And I start talking to this 19-year-old. I just start talking to him. Start asking him questions. Find out that he's from a Jewish background, but he's searching for God. He's not sure, nothing seems to make sense anymore. He's searching in philosophy, he's searching in all these things. Do you know, I sat there and for 2 hours, I was able to share my story with him, and the name of Jesus with him. And he just looked at me, and he just had this longing, like, I want that. I want that. Do you know the world around us wants that? I was able to share with him up to a point, and I knew. You know, sometimes when you listen to the Holy Spirit, you know what your time is and what you're supposed to do. And I knew my time at that moment was just to stop, let him talk, and then I gave him my contact information. I said, Ben, if you want to talk more about this, here, reach out to me. We'll talk. I'd love to be able to pray with you. I'd love to be able to help you. And he just looked at me and he said, thank you very, very much. And just the look in his face, this was a young man that had gone through, not sure what he wanted to do, dropped out of school because of the pandemic. Come on, people. Directionless. But the Holy Spirit had a divine appointment. If we will walk by the Spirit, there is life and there is peace. There is life and peace. And notice what it said there. It said this, for the carnally minded, right, is death, but to the spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity. That means hostile toward God. But it is not subject to the law of God, nor can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you know that as Christians, we cannot please God by just listening to our flesh? And if you don't believe me, if you get out on 684 and somebody cuts you off, you can tell what is the spirit and what is the flesh. Right? Yeah? Notice what it says here in verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now he's speaking to the Roman Christians. He's saying there's better for you. Just say that out loud. Say, there's better for me.
There's better for me.
There is. And if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, it says, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, the Spirit of God that dwells in you, when the Spirit of God dwells in you, it causes you to step out of your comfort zone, do things you thought you'd never do, open your mouth when you thought you would never open your mouth. You can ask my mom and dad, I was an introvert. And now my kids tell me I don't know a stranger. What was that? Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. We were at the conference. Pastor Michael looked at me and goes, you know everybody. I go, I do know a lot of people. And I was introducing him to everybody. He says, please don't quiz me. Please don't quiz me. You know? And I just want you to know that God has this ability. I'm not saying if you're an introvert and that's the way God created you, no problem. Okay? But be willing to step out of your comfort zone and do what God calls you to do. Be willing to actually open your mouth when you need to open your mouth. Be willing to step out of the boat when you need to step out of the boat. All right. So then, verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Indeed, the Spirit of God dwells in you now. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit, verse 10, verse 11, of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life, again, Zoe, life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors to the flesh to live according to, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But by the Spirit, you'll put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This is what I want to get to you in verse 14. Next week, we're going to talk about it more, about being led by the Spirit of God. A lot of times when we talk about being led by the Spirit of God, we start with this verse. I wanted you to get the background all the way up to this verse. And so in verse 14, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive a spirit of bondage, again to fear. Fear not. Fear not. But you received a spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That is a term of endearment that we have access to Father God, my Father.
Amen.
Abba, Father. I have a good friend, you may know him, Pastor Jack Uris. He's been here before. And Pastor Jack Uris, sometimes when he prays, he'll say, Dad, when he talks to God. Some people say, is that disrespectful? He has the kind of relationship, and you can too, that you can talk to God that way. I'm not saying everybody should do that. I'm just saying he shows us his intimacy with God by doing that, by saying, yes, you have access to God. You have that ability to say, hey, Dad, this is what's going on. I need your help. Walking by the Spirit, responding to the Holy Spirit. In these next couple of weeks, we're going to get into details. What do you mean by responding to the Holy Spirit? You respond to the promptings of the Holy Ghost, the still small voice on the inside that causes you to do something, say something, walk in something that you never thought you would before. Sometimes with fear and trepidation, I open my mouth. When I open my mouth and speak the Word of God in fear and trepidation, am I getting it right? I don't want to miss it, God. I don't want to miss it. But when you learn to hear His voice, then when He tells you to do something again, you'll hear it again. You'll hear it again. And you'll go, yeah, I know that voice. I know that voice. Why? Because I drew up near to the voice. I recognized the whisper. And as a college student in that college dorm, and just praying, sometimes just praying my heart out, and just saying, God, you know, whatever you want to do with my life, you can do. I just want to be used. I heard His voice. And I would hear His voice a little more again. And I'd hear it a little more again. And then I got to the point where I'd be in a noisy room and I could hear His voice. You know, those of you that have children, you know that if you've ever been around Silvio and Iris, I believe they're watching this morning too. Silvio has a special call for his kids. They're adults now, but they know it. It's a special whistle. And when he whistles, no matter where they are in a room, he knows it, they know exactly that's Dad calling. Do you know God wants us to get so attuned to the Holy Spirit that we know when Dad's calling in the middle of a car accident, in the middle of a tragedy that we're watching unfold before our eyes, and we'll know that's the Spirit of God, and we'll know what to do, and we'll know what to say. We'll know how to operate in the shalom of God and the life of God, listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and just speaking it out, just speaking it out, just speaking it out, and stepping out of the boat. It's time. God is waiting for us. It's not revival. It's not some fictitious weird thing out here that God just moves in and does something. He's waiting on His people to be the instruments of revival because the Holy Spirit is saying, respond to my calling. Respond to what I tell you. Thank you, Lord. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation, the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation is groaning. Oh, the world calls it global warming and everything else. I'm telling you right now, there is something that's beyond the science that's saying the world, the earth, is groaning for the sons of God to be revealed. That the Spirit, He who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, that you become that bold witness for Christ. That you, in the middle of crazy things going on around you, you can stand up for God and you can be used by God no matter what the situation, if you would just respond to Him. He's opening the door to say, I want to use you. I love you. I've got a plan of God for you. I've got things for you to say, people for you to touch. You can change worlds. If you talk to any one of the pastors that I was with today, some of them that are literally changing nations. When they went to Bible school or when they started following the plan of God, they didn't know all that. They just literally stepped out one step, another step. Another step. Another step. Many Friday nights when I was praying in my dorm room, I would say, God, I want to hear Your voice so that even when You whisper, I will know it's you. It's up to you to respond. It's up to you to grow up into the things of God. We're going to continue on in this vein in Romans 8. If you want to read that this week in preparation for next Sunday and the following Sunday, we're going to be talking about, well, what does it mean to respond to the Holy Ghost? What does it mean to respond to the Holy Spirit? Because He's always talking. He's always talking. He's got assignments for you. And as I was praying this week for you in prayer time, and it was wonderful. Every single day we had a long time of prayer in an auditorium full of people. And if you would walk in and you'd be coming in off the street, you might think that these 2,000 people are absolutely insane. But what they were doing was just talking to God. You know how Pastor Christine was talking, that, you know, just people talking out loud. I'm serious. People literally walking and pacing an auditorium, praying in other tongues, sometimes praying in English. And because there were people from almost every nation that you can imagine, praying in Indian dialect, praying in African dialect, just sitting there praying. And what were we doing? We were seeking the face of God and asking God, what is our assignments? What do you want us to accomplish in planet Earth? Because to follow after the Spirit is life and peace. And if you want more life and peace in your life, follow after the Spirit. If you find yourself in anxiety and fear, remember what verse 15 said? It said, you didn't receive a spirit of bondage again to fear. Right now, fear is gripping the world over virus, over wars, and rumors of wars. But I got to tell you, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, have it more abundantly. And Jesus said, I give you peace, not as the world gives. I give you peace. Peace, real peace. So, praise God. I think I did what I was supposed to do today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time today in the Word. I know you want to speak to your people. I know you have assignments for this church, God. Assignments bigger than us. Bigger than us financially, bigger than us numerically. That doesn't matter. What matters is we're going to live by the Spirit. We're going to walk by the Spirit. We're going to walk by faith. And Father, I pray for every individual that's listening today, God, that you would infuse them with a desire to hear your voice, a desire to draw up close and listen, a desire, God, to get in your word and let your word speak powerful, powerful thoughts to them. Things that are outside the norm, that are beyond the expected, that are even contrary to what conventional wisdom might be, but they would step out and do what you've called them to do. God, that we as a church would step out and do everything, every assignment that you've called us to do, both locally and internationally, God, that we would be that church, Lord, that would shine your light wherever we are. Father, you've called people to this church from different nations, and that's not by accident. And so, Father, we thank you for the assignment that you're putting on us. And we receive it, and we walk it out by faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, or you have walked away from Him and it's been some time since you fellowship with Him, I'm going to give you an opportunity to recommit your life to Him. If that's you, I want you to raise up your hand. If you're watching online, I want you to pray a simple prayer with us. Is there anybody here? I do that on purpose, even if I think everybody here is a believer or everybody here walking with the Lord. All right, let's just all pray in case there's somebody online that needs to receive Christ, that needs to receive Christ in their life. And so right now, let's just pray this out loud. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for my sins, that He was raised from the dead. I receive His forgiveness by faith. And I thank you, Lord, that Jesus is my Lord. I call Him Lord from this day forth in Jesus' name. Amen. If you received the Lord or you are recommitting your life to Jesus, I want you to let us know that you prayed that. I want to send you some some materials that will help you in your walk with faith. If you are far away from our church, geographically, if you live on another part of the planet, we want to get you in contact with a church that's going to help you grow in the things of God and the assignment and the purpose that God has for your life. Praise God forevermore. Well, I believe that God has things for us. We want to stay hooked up. If you can get here in person, please do. There's something about gathering in person that really makes a difference. If you can't and you can connect online, then connect online. Sometimes it's geographic, sometimes it's other circumstances. We appreciate every one of you that are connecting, giving, and being a part of our church family, Westchester Family Church. God's going to do amazing things. He's got some really things, good things for us. We're going to be that light for God to use wherever and whatever circumstance that He has for us. Amen. Let's stand right now and let's have our sending out verse. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us online. Don't forget, we've got Wednesday nights. We've got some really, really good things coming up on Wednesdays, and also the youth Zoom and things like that. If you're staying for ukulele practice, just hang with us, and we'll be going to that in just a minute. Thank you again. God bless you. Thanks. Bye-bye. Amen.